Dr. Betty Shabazz is a dynamic woman. She is a caring woman. She's a strong woman. She's a career woman. She is not only a radio personality, but she's also a registered nurse, a specialist in public health education, and a PhD in higher education administration. She has been an integral part of the City University community, specifically at Medgar Evers College since 1976, where she has served as a professor, as an administrator, and where she is currently the college's Director of Communications and Public Relations. Dr. Shabazz has indeed kept the faith and continued to work for social justice. She is active in many organizations and has been honored and celebrated for her outstanding civic work. She is also has the distinction of having reared 6 children after the death of her husband, Malcolm X. So I am very proud to present to you Dr. Betty Shabazz. Betty?
Thank you very much. I heard all of those very nice things that Dr. Kapner, who is the president of this very fine institution, was saying. And tonight there are some people who are present who helped me be strong. And that is basically why we're having this conference, so that we can help people get back on track and help people keep strong. And seated out there in the audience very quickly, Dr. Roscoe Brown, who was at that particular time at, could I have the lights up? Are the lights up? I can't see. Let's be gracious, give him a big hand. I can remember when I was trying to get my dissertation written, and I called him more than I called my mother. Seated next to him, that's not her, but but someplace out in the audience is Dr. Edith Everett. Where is she? Did she leave? Oh. She is on the Board of Higher Ed and made my job easier when it came time for me to solicit money for a scholarship for our students at Medgar Evers. And then there is Dr. Leo Corby, who at one time was my boss. He is vice chancellor. Where are you, Dr. Corby? I was very delighted to see Eric Lincoln. Isn't that distinguished? I always wanted an initial before my first name. See Eric Lincoln, who, when I got a humanities grant 2 or 3 years ago, who made sure that I covered all of the points that was necessary for me to cover. Where is he? Dr. Lincoln, just raise your hand. He's back there. Give him a round of applause. And then, of course, you know, there's Alex Haley. I don't know what I would have done without Alex Haley. I used to talk to Alex Haley every single night. And he got real nervous because he said, oh my God, I don't know how I'm gonna tell Malcolm this, you know. But I told Malcolm. And then Malcolm wrote him a letter and said, while I'm away, please call my wife. So that I've had a lot of people help me be strong. And one of the things is that when I was at the University of Massachusetts for those 6 years, there was a woman there, and I was not one of her students, but she reached out to me and helped me and helped me construct my proposal that took me 6 months to get approved, and that is Dr. Gloria Joseph. Where are you? And Dr. Gloria Joseph didn't just help me. She just helped a whole lot of folks. And one of the things is that when Malcolm left America and went abroad for 6 months and then later 3 months, There was a woman who was part of the expatriate community in Ghana, who was very helpful along with Maya Angelou of making sure that he saw Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah, Alice Winston. And I am told that somewhere in the audience there is a man that all of us are very grateful to, and that is Babu Muhammad, who started the revolution in Tanzania. Give him a round of applause. Let me just say real quickly, because we have some wonderful people to speak, and that is one of the things that Malcolm said is that he said he felt like he was on a tightrope. He said that to the religious, he was too worldly, and to the political, he was too religious. But the balance of our people was still hanging. When will freedom come? And sometimes we get so caught up into our own thing that we lose sight of the fact that all men and women are supposedly born equal. We know that political, economic, social, cultural, legal, educational, religious conditions have held in check the advancement of our people. And we are not going to leave one thing and go into another thing. We have to understand that. Malcolm was a visionary. Visionaries always get in trouble, don't they? We can dream dreams. No. Boy, I wish I could have found another word. God. But, and it's safe, is it not? We can have visions and understand where we need to be. And when we try to get there, find that we run up against all sorts of blocks. Change must come. Malcolm says that we know from empirical research that if we can find an individual in the worst part of an area, in a house that is unfit for human habitation, send them to inferior schools, give them jobs, or allow them to have jobs with little or no pay, and then discriminate against them on the job where their families receive poor public service, sanitation, health, etc., those human beings are not likely to respond to appeals to be lawful, to be respectful, and to be concerned with the property of others. We have created, we have created and allowed the system of injustice to last too long. Therefore, this weekend, our concerns are multidimensional. They are financial, they are political, they are social, they are institutional. A lot of people at this stage want to wait for rain. They want to wait for liberation. They want to wait for parity. We need to capture that indomitable spirit, that unrelenting spirit, and go after it. Are we, and I ask you this question, are we psychologically prepared to accept the responsibility for liberation and improve the quality of our lives now? Or are we going to sit and wait forever? Well, if you want it now, you have to work for it now. I went to a world conference. And one of the things they said was that, and it was representatives from around this globe, said if third world people wanted freedom, wanted equality, they had to work for it themselves because the world was in such turmoil, forces needed to be someplace else. So that nobody is going to give it. And basically, Malcolm used to always say, when you have the ability to choose between being happy or sad, to being freedom or a slave, why do we always select to be unhappy and slave? If you said right now that you were free, your behavior would change, would it not? Well, you're not sure. Okay. Let me just say that I am delighted that I met Malcolm, that I was married to Malcolm. I don't know where I would be at this point in my thinking . I see people around the world, and the only thing I say is, thank God I met Malcolm. We know that the individual person has a worth which other individuals are bound to respect. Some people don't know that yet. And where one's significance does not depend on status or function, we must not make a virtue out of possibilities and insignificance. We can see in our society that there are groups who claim authority as a right of birth. We understand that that tradition must change. All of us must claim the right of authority of our birth. The challenge. And we do know that readjustment of policy, of tradition, and readaptation of policy is a tremendous task facing the reality of the 21st century. What threatens to be a disaster to civilization can become the starting point of a new order. Are we ready for the challenge? Thank you very much.